Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today to talk about the sharing in the anointing of Jesus. This is part of the inheritance, the kind of the core, the centerpiece, the most meaningful reality of what happens to a human being when we are baptized into Christ. We are given a share in what Jesus described as power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus himself said, right, Peter in the Acts chapter 10 said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Peter saw it in the life of Jesus, in his preaching, his teaching, his signs and wonders, his raising people from the dead, and of course, his own victory on Calvary, his rising from the dead, and his ascension into glory. And Jesus said, in so many words, he said, the power that you saw in me, I'm going to give to you. That power is his anointing. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And the anointing of Jesus is the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who raised Jesus from the dead and just demolished all the powers that were set against the human race, set against the kingdom of God. He just demolished them in the person of Jesus under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit raised Jesus to a new reality, a new creation, a new humanity, clothing human flesh in the glory of God, this race of people that had fallen from glory. Now the new existence, the kingdom, the life of the kingdom has begun. And the flow now, as the catechism talked about earlier in the week, we looked at it, that from the fullness of this anointing in Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son, in fullness now it flows to human flesh, to human beings, to people like us, a dying race of people that he's going to bring to life through the Holy Spirit if we're willing to hear the gospel, to receive it, believe it, to repent, to be baptized, to enter into Jesus' life and in the church, to be and to share in his anointing. The Spirit, the Catechism reminds us, the Holy Spirit is Jesus' anointing. And the Holy Spirit is the one who glorifies Jesus. So the Spirit becomes our anointing. That anointing is the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. It's in us. And it's that Spirit that brings us into glory and reveals Jesus to us. And we get to taste his glory even in this life. And we know through the help of the Holy Spirit, through the gift of hope, that there's an eternal weight of glory that awaits us. This surpassing, you know, this momentary affliction, Paul calls it, life on earth. It's going to pass away like that. But we're going to enter into an eternal weight of glory, the weight, the renown, the recognition of God, you know, well done, good and faithful servant, you know, come and receive and inherit the kingdom. Wow. That's the destiny. That's the reality. And so we've been talking about what that sharing in Jesus' anointing is about all week. First, its meaning, its essence, what it is in Jesus, how it comes to us, how we walk in it. And of course, this is a subject we could talk about for a year nonstop. There's so much to it. It's such a wonder and a mystery. And we began the week with the prayer of St. Paul, the apostolic prayer, praying to the Father that he would give us the Spirit of wisdom, this Holy Spirit and wisdom to grasp the deep, deep mysteries of God and how they're unfolding within us. And he said that to have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, Spirit of wisdom and knowledge in him, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. And we'd come ultimately, St. Paul said, not only to an understanding of the hope that's in us, the inheritance we received in being united to the firstborn, and to the full inheritance that belongs to him that he now shares with us and bestows on us, but also to know the immeasurable greatness of his power that's in us. We need to know this now. We need to know this at a time when the human race is losing its mind. It's filled with terror and fear, and it's gripped in a kind of slavish fear, living without hope in the world. It's not a good scene. We need to know the immeasurable greatness of his power that's in us. We don't have to be afraid of sickness. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of the terrible tribulations this world can bring. and is bringing in places today. Things are shaking. Human beings are shaking because of this deeper, broader shaking that's going on. And the Lord's allowing the shaking so we let go of our clinging to unshakable things as our hope for a future. You know, there's just so many silly things that human beings are running after and saying, this is the ground of my hope and my life and what makes me happy and all that. None of it can last and none of it can endure and pass us, lead us through, bring us to peace in a time of shaking like this. And so we were talking about the meaning of the anointing. I'm just ending today this program. You know, yesterday I spoke about, you know, the classic way in which the church describes our participation in the anointing of Jesus. We have a priestly, prophetic, we share in Jesus' priestly, prophetic, and kingly life. Jesus is a priest, he's a prophet, he's a king. He's a priest, as I said yesterday, because he makes himself, his life, an offering to God. He worships God. He talks to God as Father. He makes possible for us to make our life an offering and to be able to talk to God as Father in the core of our being, Abba, and to entrust our lives to him and to be fully aligned with his purpose and walking his commandments. And the prophetic role is Jesus came to declare the kingdom. He came to proclaim the gospel, the good news of salvation, to speak a word that would bring salvation to a race of people that stand desperately in need of it. And the apostles were anointed with the Holy Spirit to proclaim the prophetic truth about who Jesus is. St. Peter, culminating on the day of Pentecost, called people to repentance and says, God has made Jesus Lord and Christ. All power and authority belongs to Jesus. He's the only Savior of the world, like Peter will say later in Acts, that there's no other name under heaven and earth by which we can be saved. And he proclaims the gospel. And that gospel, that prophetic word, is what brings life. And at the core of that prophetic word is Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the essence of it. It's called the kerygma. And the church declares a reality and a fact that Mary's son has won a victory on the cross, and he's disarmed the principalities and powers, and he's made a public show of the demonic forces that rule in this earth, and he's broken their power and their hold on the human race forever. That is for anyone who says yes to Jesus and now lives under and in his authority. We come out of a world, we enter his kingdom. We come out of sin, we come into his righteousness. We come out of death, we come into his life, right? We come out of the flesh and we start walking in his spirit. The new life, the new creation, we live in what he's begun, the new creation, the kingdom of God, and he's the king of that kingdom. And it's the proclamation of this truth about who he is under the anointing of the Spirit. This is the prophetic word that the church brings to the entire world. So you're a prophet if you're baptized into Christ. You're called to live the life of a prophet that is orienting your whole life to a prophetic revelation about the meaning of reality. You're living now with a different understanding, a different storyline, a different perspective, an eternal perspective, a different ground of reality, a different purpose. That's a prophetic life. So that's where the gospel brings you. The preaching of that gospel brings you into a whole new reality. It's the reality of the kingdom. And we live now already. Paul will say, so many words that theologians describe it as the already and the not yet. We're still living in a fallen world, but we're already united to the king, and the kingdom of God is unfolding in us. So priestly life, sharing in Christ's priesthood. And that happens in different ways, by the way, I didn't mention yesterday. The priesthood of all believers, all of us who are baptized into Christ are called and anointed to follow the footsteps of Jesus and make our lives an offering the way Jesus did. But some are called among us to be conformed to Jesus in a unique way in that priesthood. It's a different role it's a different vocation in the body of Christ. The priest is called to be another Christ. That is, he stands in the place of Jesus in, you know, most perfectly at the altar, where in persona Christi, in the person of Jesus Christ, he offers the beautiful once for all transforming eternal sacrifice and offering of Jesus to his Father, himself to the Father. It's that deed that saves us. It's fundamentally an act of love, and it's fundamentally an act of love because it's an act of obedience to the Father, and it's love that brings down the kingdom of hate and darkness that flows from the life, you know, the existence of the devil and his kingdom and his plan. There's also the kingship of Jesus, the rule and dominion and the authority that we share. Jesus crushed the kingdom of darkness. Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers that are set against us. Jesus humiliated Satan and his demons, and he's given, you know, they had no power over him because he wasn't living in sin and compromise, but he was perfect in love, perfect in life as he walked out his life, and he delivered people from demonic forces. He exposed the kingdom of darkness. And we're living in a time, friends, in the midst of the confusion that's even in the church in many ways today. One of the confusions is that the devil's not real. The devil's not like a person. He's not a being. He's not a spiritual being. And, you know, even I think the head of the Jesuits even said something like that a few years ago, which is nonsense. The devil's real. The devil's been disarmed. The devil has demons enslaved to him. They make war against human beings. They seek to enslave human beings and kill them eternally and make them slaves forever. They seek to constantly weaken the church, lead the church to compromise. The church is in a battle, and this is a battlefield, right? And in living the kingly life of Jesus, we're meant to put on the armor of God and to stand, first of all. That's the way we fight, is we stand against the tactics of the devil. We stand in the truth of Christ. We stand on the rock that is Christ. We stand in the freedom and the power of the Spirit who, right through, is the finger of God, as the Gospels describe. As he's the finger of God, Jesus casts out the devils. He casts out evil. And that's through the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. So we've been talking about the power of God, the anointing of Christ that's in us to be able to become a new creation, to become a child of God, to be able to come into relationship with the Father and fellowship with the Father and the Son and the power of the Spirit. We find our place in the family of God. We come into the freedom of the children of God. We receive this identity. We come out of the world and live in the kingdom. Those are the foundational realities. We live in faith, hope, and love that the Lord has given to us. But we also know that this life, that fullness of the Spirit that makes us possible is in us, but it's also because the Spirit dwells in us, but also flowing through us. You know, this current of grace that flows from the throne of God, from the heart and the fullness of Jesus throughout history, that brings about the conversion and salvation of human beings. It's meant to flow through us. And it flows through us through the proclamation, living that prophetic role, but also through the kingly role of establishing the kingdom in our own heart through the gift of the Spirit and yielding to it in our marriages, in our families, in our parishes, in our dioceses, in our towns and realities, to bring it under the lordship and majesty of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. And we need to stand in that now confidently in this dark hour. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.